One summer in high school, I was hired by a church camp to be a ranch hand. The camp was high in the Rocky Mountains, and it was littered with beautiful fields filled with native grasses and wildflowers. One of my jobs was to take a pump and pump from the creek to water the wildflowers. And in those fields were my favorite flower in the whole world, the little Indian paintbrushes with the orange, and they were just beautiful. Now, another of my primary jobs, right before the parent drop-off or pickup days in particular, was to sit atop a small tractor, drive in circles, and mow down all those beautiful wildflowers into nice, neat lawns. To this day, do you know what the first thing I want to do when I see a beautiful field of wildflowers? I just want to mow them all down, right? No. No, I don't. Now, some of you thought, one thing about preaching is that it's a conversation, and I love the conversation. I say things, I hear things, things get heard and misheard, and sometimes it's even better coming back to me than I said it the first time. But some of you thought I was saying that last week when I talked about simplifying how we approach this thing we call church, that we're just going to start mowing down the flowers. I talked about simplifying so a path to service is more clear for new members. I talked about simplifying so everything we do supports our mission of nurturing the human spirit for a world made whole, and both those pieces of our mission. Simplifying so we put as much energy into nurturing your spirit as we do into making the world more whole. I'm also always hopeful that when you put what you think I'm saying through a reality filter, would we really want to cut most of the church program so we can only do what a few of us want to do? Would anyone dictate which programs live or die unilaterally? Reality filter. Is there a secret plot to take over the world? Do I really walk through a field of beautiful flowers and want to mow them down? Of course not. Except for take over the world. It's about trust. We've been through enough together that we know in broad strokes where we are coming from. Together, we are gardeners of the Spirit, gardeners of this church. I used to have a perennial garden. In fact, I planted it from scratch in a house that Cindy and I bought. In the first year, I had to pull and dig and plant. The second year, things came back and grew, and I was amazed that it worked. The third year, I started to get a little alarmed at how much beauty I was dealing with. It was a lot of work to keep up that garden. The fourth, I had to start making some choices about what went where, what got moved here, what got given to a friend who was starting their own garden, where to put things together so it made more sense. I learned that you don't tend flowers, though, with a weed whacker, nor should we with each other. I learned in that garden that sometimes a little change, moving this over there, putting that next to this, can net a big result in how much work that garden takes, in how we feel about the work. And that's what church is about, how we feel about what we're doing, the impacts that we're making. I learned to cultivate not only a garden full of plants, but a heart full of gratitude as well. I learned that sometimes the day's work is over, the rest is good, that tomorrow's work can wait a little while. Enough is sometimes enough. Unless we're God, we can't create a garden in a day. And patience. I learned about patience. This has been a marvelous year. This coming week, I will wrap things up and then head off to General Assembly, and I won't be back until our annual animal blessing. I can say that now that we've done it once before. The seeds are sown for the year, the garden is flourishing, and the gardeners get to take a little time off and to rest. In July, one gardener has a little time alone to watch the flowers grow and bloom, and in August, the other gardener will tend to the flowers as the other gardener, that's you, takes some rest and gets some rest. case it's not clear. What a year it has been. Think about how much ground we've explored from this pulpit, in our classrooms, in your covenant groups. Musically, so much has happened. Last year, you asked for more attention to your spiritual lives. We've explored forgiveness, letting go, a relationship to animals and nature, regret and liberation. You asked for exploration of our tradition, and we explored our transcendentalist roots, the heart of our democracy, and our tradition's intersection with Eastern religions and Buddhism. You asked to explore our Judeo-Christian heritage, and we looked at the Jewish High Holy Days and Easter through our Unitarian Universalist lens. We celebrated and affirmed our being open for good. Now it's time for a little rest. You can still come to church. The doors are still going to be open. But perhaps it's time for a little rest. Simplify, simplify, I said last week, as a challenge and a prayer for you and for me. It certainly wasn't a mandate or plan to take over the world. I said it to encourage a spiritual path through the garden and to plant some ideas, because this work that we do is our spiritual path. I hope these ideas generate thought and good questions about how we focus on mission without depleting the soil. And these two things that we're doing right now, five-year planning and looking deeply at how these things we're doing nurture our souls, they're not at odds with each other in any way. In fact, if we planned and dreamt without thinking about how that's impacting our hearts and our gratitude and our ability to be compassionate, even for ourselves in the work, we wouldn't be doing our job. Simplify. Life is too cluttered today. We know it because we see people getting lost. Like gardens, we grow and diversify and bloom and explode with life. And if you ever wonder how we are growing, you don't have to count numbers, even though those are good. No worry there. But if you ever really want to know how we are growing, just hang out in the lobby on a weekday night, or at coffee hour, or at a picnic. There are flowers everywhere. We are gardeners of the Spirit. We have planted something beautiful here, a garden for all to enjoy. And now we turn to one of my favorite moments of the year, our flower communion. Whenever Dr. Čapek conducted his flower communion in Prague, he would say this proverb as he consecrated the flowers. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessings on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid the diversities of knowledge and of gifts, to be one in desire and affection and devotion to a holiness of will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of the most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all are needed to do the work of this world. And so now, as the music plays, please come forward and take a flower. Pause for a moment, even, to see which one speaks to you. Please come forward, take a flower, and be in community together.